Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Zayin. We're going to begin at the new Mishnah about 8 lines down from the top of Lamed Zayin with Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Naftali Kenner, Naftali Ben Svi Moshe Kohen, Ephraim Estes, Ephraim Elozar Ben Yaakov Yitzchak, and also Le'ili Nishmas Lillian Alson, Leah Bas Yitzchak Kohen, and Fanny Domrov, Chaya Fagel, Itka Bas Aaron Yaakov Kohen. All the Nishamas we learn for Shavuot and Aleph from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of all the Chayalim and Kol Chatzei Bitachon in Eretz Yisrael. They should be successful. They should bring back all of the hostages, b'mheira, in good health. They should have a refuah shleima, all those in need, and nechama, all those nebuch that are suffering from the terrible korbanos that they've given on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up the new Mishnah, Lamed Zayin, and Aleph, 8 lines from the top. The Mishnah tells us, Shor Shehu Muad Lemino. Here we're dealing with an ox that is a muad for goring its own species. It, for example, has gored 3 other oxen, but it has never gored a horse. It has never gored a camel. So the Eino Muad L'Sheino Mino. Now that's the girsa that we have, and we'll spend most of this year today, at least the first part, dealing with this Vav. The Eino Muad L'Sheino Mino will be a machlos between Rezid and Rapopo. Are we goreth that Vav? That Vav is critical. I'll read it with the Vav that we have, the girsa that we have, which will be Rezid's girsa, and that is, we also know for a fact that Eino Muad L'Sheino Mino. It has been in the presence of camels or horses or other animals and has not gored them. So therefore, it is specifically a muad for its own men, and it is specifically not a muad. There ain't a muad. We have definitive yediyah that it is not a muad for other species, which implies that the default position is that if it's a muad for a shor, it's also a muad for other animals. So here, it's only because we know for a fact that ain't no muad l'sheino mino, that it's not a muad for other animals. But the default position, the stama, would be that it is considered, if it's a muad for shvarim, that it's also a muad for other animals. So in this situation, the din would be that it is going to have to pay nezik shalim if it gores another ox, but it would only pay chatzi nezik, would be a tam in regards to other animals. Similarly, the same exact din comes up if it was muad the other. We know for a fact that it gored people. It was definitely a muad for people, but we also know for a fact that ain't a muad l'bhema. It gored people, but when it was around other animals, it didn't gore them. So we know for a fact that it's a tam in regards to other behemoths. Again, the default position here would be, if we didn't know that for a fact, if you're a muad for other, you would also be a muad for other animals as well. Likewise, if you were muad l'ktanim, this shor gored other animals that were of a more immature, of a younger nature of its species, but it's, we know for a fact, the ain't a muad l'gdolim. So this ox, it gored all the little baby oxen, but it didn't gore the big oxen. So in this situation, we know for a fact that it was muad l'ktanim, but we know for a fact it was not muad l'gdolim. In all of these situations, es shu muad lo, in our first case, the 3 cases over here, the first case was muad l'mino, and second case was muad li'adam. Third case was muad liktanim. So in all of those cases, es shehu muad lo, mishalim nezik shalom. You have to pay full damages, meha aliyah. And the es she'enu muad lo, in the 3 cases, for example, where it was not muad for other species, it was not muad for other animals, just for people, and it was not muad for the gdolim, just for the ktanim. We know for a fact that it's not, that's the girsa with the vav, so then the es she'enu muad lo, so then it's considered a tam, and you only pay mishalim chatzi nezik migufo. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. There's 3 separate components to it. Now, Amru Mei Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and they asked him, Harei zeh muad l'shabbosos, what would be the halacha if this ox gored on every Shabbos? So 3 Shabbosim in a row, this ox gored. So it becomes a shor muad for Shabbos. Does that mean that it's also a shor muad for weekdays? And again, we have the vav, ve'eno muad l'chol. So if you're holding like Rav Zvid's understanding, like the girsa that we have, that it means, and we know for a fact that it didn't gore on the weekdays. So it gored this Shabbos, it gores next Shabbos, it gores the Shabbos after that. But it didn't gore on Thursday, it didn't gore on Thursday, it didn't gore on Thursday, it didn't gore on weekdays. So then, the way Rashi understands this is that these Talmidim ask their Rebbe the question, what's the halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, tells him, Amalam, l'shabbosos v'shalem nezik shalom. It is considered a muad when it gores on Shabbos, and you pay nezik shalom in aliyah. But if it gores on a weekday, then it's a tam, and you only pay chatzin ezek mikufo. Finally, Rabbi Yehuda says, a mas ayutam. How do we go back to becoming a tam again? So in this situation, mishiach zibo shloshi me shabbosos, when for the next three shabbosim, it doesn't go and gore. So then it loses its status of being a muad in regards to goring on Shabbos. It becomes again a tam in regards to goring on Shabbos. And you don't even chatzi nezek mi gufo. Okay, now that's a Mishnah. Now, as I pointed out, Itmar, Razvid Omar, the Enomur Tanan. He holds that there's a Vav there, which means that we definitively also know that it wasn't the Mu'ud for the second statement in the of the three statements in the Reisha. So the second statement of the first point of Lemino, but not Lemino, Adam, and not animals, and Kitanim, and not Gedolim. So with the second part of each of those statements had a Vav, the Enomur Tanan. It means that we definitively know that it's not Mu'ud. And Rapapa disagrees. Rapapa had no Vav in any of those places. He had just the words Eino Mu'tnan. Now, what's the practical difference? I already alluded to it. Now, you see it inside, the difference between having the Vav there, like Rav Zvid says, and not having the Vav there, like Rapapa says. Now, Rav Zvid Amar, the Eino Mu'tnan, that you have the Vav over there in all of those scenarios, implication being that Hos Stomach, when you don't know for a fact, you consider it heavy Mu'at. So, in the case where we said that it was a Mu'at Lemino, and then we said, we know for a fact, there ain't a mu'ud l'she'ein amino. It's only in that situation where we know for a fact that it is not a mu'ud, that we say that it is a tam. But the implication is, hostama, when we don't know for a fact, if it was mu'ud l'mino, we assume it's gone mu'ud l'she'ein amino. Hostama, heavy mu'ud. And that would be true for all three cases of the Mishnah. Now, Rapapa Amar, ain't a mu'ud tanan. Rapapa says, no, there is no vav over there. It means that if it is a mu'ud for its own min, the default position is that it's not a mu'ud for something else. Omar, ain't no mu'ud tanan, which implies the stomach, low heavy mu'ud. And this is the basic machlokas as to how to understand the Mishnah between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. Now, each of them brings a raya from different parts of the Mishnah. Rav Zvid daik mi seifa, Rav Papa daik mi reisha. Now, here we're talking about the three statements that we have in the reisha. We have the first one, the second one, and the third one. Rav Zvid is going to make a diuk from the third one, and Rav Papa is going to make a diuk from the first one. Now, Rav Zvid daik mi seifa, what does that mean? It said, diktani, mu'ad liktanim, there ain't no mu'ad likdolim. So it is a mu'ad for ktanim, and we know for a fact that it's not a mu'ad for gdolim. Implication being, e amis bishloma, there ain't no mu'ad ktanim. If it's like Rav Zvid says that there's a vav there, and then we know for a fact that it's not a mu'ud l'gdolim, because it didn't gore g'dolim, implication being, hostameh, heavy mu'ud. But if you didn't know that for a fact, so then we would assume that if it's a mu'ud for k'tanim, it is also a mu'ud for g'dolim, if we didn't know for a fact that it wasn't. So then, ha'kamashalan, we understand this according to Rav Zvid, why he gave us this case of k'tanim and g'dolim, because the afilu mik'tanim l'gdolim nami. The chiddush would have been that even though it was only a mu'ud for k'tanim, you might have thought it shouldn't be a mu'ud for g'dolim. Oh, that's why it has to tell us that we know for a fact that it's not a mu'ud for g'dolim, because the stam position would be that it is a mu'ud for g'dolim as well. Mistam, a heavy mu'ud. And therefore, Rav Zvid says, we understand why you have to tell me the case of k'tanim and g'dolim, because there's a chiddush involved. Ella, but if you hold it, Rav Papa, Yarmas ain't a mu'ud k'tanim, that there is no vav there. And therefore, the stam position is that it's not a mu'ud. So therefore, ain't a mu'ud is the stam position. There's no vav. And therefore, in that situation, Eliyamas, ain't a mu'ud k'tanim, stoma, low heavy mu'ud, according to Rav Papa. So then, why would you have to tell me anything? Hashti yeshloma miktanim liktanim, the alma. From one species to another species, we said, we don't assume, according to Rav Papa, that it is a mu'ud for one, it is automatically a mu'ud for the other species. No, we just said that the stam position is low heavy mu'ud. And therefore, if from one species to another species, the stam position is that it's not a mu'ud, so stoma low heavy mu'ud, then certainly miktanim likdolim. From goring small animals, one wouldn't assume that it's going to be a mu'ud for the large animals. Srich lemeima, would you have to tell me that, the low heavy mu'ud? So it would be unnecessary to have the third part of the Mishnah if you held like Rav Papa. And that's what Rizvid's proof is. When he says, no, Rav Papa, how would he respond to that? Rav Papa Amalach, he said, no, absolutely need it. It's terich. You need the Tanim Gedolim case. Why? Because Soka Dai Dechaminach, I would have said, ho, o paratz bei, b'hau mina, since it has gone and gored its own species, so therefore, I would have said paratz bei, and it would gore for young or old of its own species. You're right, from another species, you can't bring a raya. But here, we would say that since it's abnormal for sure to gore, and once it gored the younger animals in its species, so then it also isn't afraid to gore the older animals in its species. Lo shnog gedolim didei, lo shuk tanim didei. It's the same species. That's why Rapapa would say, no kamash v'lan, lo havi mu'ud. That's why Rapapa says we need the third case to teach us, no, that it's not automatically a mu'ud in that situation. Okay, so Rav Papa disagrees with the Raya or Rav Zvid. It doesn't prove Rav Zvid wrong, but the Raya can be deflected by Rav Papa. Now, where does Rav Papa get his diuk that there is no vav? So he learns that out from the Reisha, meaning the case before this. He learns it out to Tani, Mu'ad li'adam, ain't a Mu'ad li'behema. Rav Papa has no vav there, so he says that if you're a Mu'ad li'adam, the default position is that you're ain't a Mu'ad. The stam is ain't a Mu'ad. So if you're Mu'ad li'adam, you're not going to be assumed to be a Mu'ad li'behema. Now, Iyamas b'shlama, if you hold like Rav Papa, everything works out well. Ain't a Mu'ad t'nan stama lo have a Mu'ad, that when it says ain't a Mu'ad, there's no vav there, it means the stam position is that you're not a Mu'ad. So then, hakamash l'an, we understand why you have to tell us the chiddush of Adam and the Hema. Now, feel me, Adam and the Hema, nami stama lo have a Mu'ad. Oh, that's the chiddush. You might have thought that if you're goring an Adam, you're a Mu'ad for that. You certainly should be a Mu'ad for all other animals. So it teaches us, no, Rav Papa says, you need this part of the Mishnah to teach us that that's not true. Even in this situation, when you're a Mu'ad for Adam, you're not considered a Mu'ad for all the other animals. Stama lo have a Mu'ad. However, if you hold like Rizvid, Eliyamas, there ain't a Mu'ad. If you say that it is only because we know that you're not a Mu'ad for other animals, but the stam position would be that you would be a Mu'ad for other animals, so then Stama heavy Mu'ad. So then Hashti Ye Shlomar, Mibhem Lubahema, Stam heavy Mu'ad. According to this, the stam position is that you are Mu'ad from one min to another min. It's only because we know in the case of min and anum, you know that it's not a Mu'ad. So then the stam position is that you are a Mu'ad. So if it's from one animal to another animal that you're considered a Mu'ad, so then certainly you wouldn't have to tell me that case. Oh, so Rav Papa says that case is extra according to your Rav Zvid, kash on your Rav Zvid, and a raya to me. How does Rav Zvid answer that? Rav Zvid on the law, Rav Zvid will tell you no problem. Reisha, that case where if you're a Mu'ad for for human beings, that you're not considered a Mu'ad for other animals. No, the stam position is that you would be. But here you need to tell me, in the case of Achazara Koi, we're dealing with going back from being a Mu'ad into being a Tam. So let's say an animal was a Mu'ad, the stam position was a Mu'ad for Adam, and then it is also stam position, it's a Mu'ad for animals. But you're going to have a Mu'ad, the Adam, a Mu'ad, the Mu'ad. So it was a Mu'ad for both animals and for people. And then, Vahadar Bebehema, three times it's in the presence of other animals and it doesn't gore. So in regards to the other animals, you have demonstrated that it's not a Mu'ad. So is that enough to remove its status? But it hasn't yet removed the status of goring people. So three times it was around an animal, and it didn't gore. Now, in this situation, I might have thought, after all, still is known to be a Mu'ad li'adam. We haven't had it around three times human beings where it didn't gore, so maybe the Hadar li'behema lav chazari. So the fact that it didn't gore three times by a behema doesn't change its status of being a Mu'ad, even for other behemos, because it hasn't lost its status of being a Mu'ad li'adam. So therefore, that's what I might have thought. So Rav Zvid says, Kamashulam, the Chazara de Behema, Mia Chazari. No, it comes to teach us that you can have this partial Chazara, even though it's still a Mu'ad li'adam, you can have a partial Chazara. It was around animals, other animals, three times and didn't gore them, so then it's still considered a Mu'ad li'adam, but it's not considered a Mu'ad li'behema anymore. Okay, so each of them, Rav Papa and Rav Zvid, respectively, have answered up the kashas on them. They haven't disproven the other Shita, but they've answered up why they need each part of the Mishnah, and we're left over here still with a machlokas. Now, we have the following brisa that seems to be a problem for Rav Zvid's view that the word vav is there, teaching us that the stam position is ha'stama heavy mu'ad. Now, Sumchas Omer. Now, this is a machlokas between Sumchas and a Tanakama that is not named over here. And Sumchas tells us, Sumchas Omer, mu'ad li'adam, mu'ad li'behema, mikav v'chomer. That if an animal has gored people three times and is a mu'ad in regards to Adam, so it's a kav v'chomer that is also a mu'ad in regards to a behema. Now, Umali Adam Mu'ad, if the animal is a Mu'ad to gore human beings, so certainly Libahema Lokoshikane, it certainly will be a Mu'ad for animals because it is much less likely that it's going to gore human beings. And if it gores human beings, it certainly is going to go gore animals because human beings can mistama either fight back or someone unfortunately say that a human being has mazel, so he is basically capable of defending himself and protecting himself and knowing not to put himself in that situation, whereas a behemoth is a behemoth, doesn't have that capability. So therefore, the kal v'chomer of Sumchas is, if you're a mu'ad for human beings, in other words, the animal still has been able to gore human beings, it certainly is a mu'ad in regards to animals. Now, that implies that only Sumchas holds that kal v'chomer. Miklal, the Tanakama, which is normally the das of the chachamim, it's a das of the rabbim, it's not a das yochid. If we mention Sumchas, so then Mistoma, the Tanakama, is the Chachamim. They don't agree with Sumchas. Because the Tanakama Eino muad kamar. The Chachamim hold that if you're a muad liadam, you're not necessarily a muad libehema. So the default position is low heavy muad, like what Papa says, and kasha on Razvid. So what would Razvid say? Amalek Razvid. Razvid would answer you. That says no. Sumchas achazarika. Again, like we had the answer before, Sumchas is not talking about the stam position. He's talking about where we know Vochi Kamar Leila Tanakama. Sumchas is telling the Tanakama. You say Tanakama the Kamar is Chazor the Behema Chazorihi. You're saying that the animal that was previously a Muad Li Odom and therefore by the Kavah Chomer is a Muad Li Behema as well. So you're saying that if it does a chazar, it's in front of animals three times and doesn't gore them, that it is chozer to being a muad for animals, to becoming a top for animals, but it retains its status of being a muad liadam. So chazar de behema lo chazar. He says, I disagree with that. I don't know that that's a valid chazara because of this kavachomer liadam. If it's going to be able to gore human beings, it's still a muad for human beings. It's certainly still going to be a muad for animals, even though three times it didn't gore them. Uma adam lo komahadebe. If it doesn't retract its status of being a muad liadam, you can't retract its status of being a muad libehema by just not goring a couple of times in front of the behema. Okay, so again, Rav Zvid answers up the kasha. Amar Vashi. Now we have a kasha on Rav Papa. Toshma. Amru lifnei Rav Yehuda. The Talmidim in our Mishnah, they said in front of the Rebbe Rav Yehuda that harei zeh muad l'shabbosos. If an animal is a muad in regards to Shabbos. In other words, it gored this Shabbos, next Shabbos, the following Shabbos, so it gores on Shabbos. Rashi says, why would it gore only on Shabbos? So Rashi has an interesting idea. He says, Lefishu batel mi milocha, v'zocha daitolav. It's not working. So it's in an arrogant type of a mood, and therefore it has nothing to do. It's not used to its regular grind of work, because you're not allowed to work your animals on Shabbos, so therefore it goes and gores. Tosa is another interesting way, brings down the Yerushalmi, and Tosa says, Lefisha ra'osam b'malbushim noyim acherim v'chashuvim b'yenav, and therefore, eino mekirim. It doesn't recognize the person. He's not his friend. Normally, he knows, this is my owner. This is the guy that always plows with me, so he's not going to gore him. He's his friend. But when he sees him all dressed up fancy in Shabbos clothing, and he doesn't look the same, so, I'm going to gore that guy. So therefore, that's what Tosafot brings down from the Yerushalmi, is why an animal would be a muad in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. Now, there are the simple way to understand this, like I just brought down from Rashi and Tosas, is that there is something unique about Shabbos. Others learn this, no, it just means he was muad for one specific day. They just mentioned Shabbos because that's probably the more likely day that he would be a muad, because why would you think he should be a muad on Thursdays? But for whatever the reason, if it goes three times on a Thursday, so then it would be a muad for Thursdays and wouldn't be a muad necessary for any other day. That's another way to learn this. A nafkamina between these two ways to learn would be, what about Yontif? So on Yontif, the animal's not working. And on Yontif, the animal sees that his master is dressed up in very nice clothing. So either like Rashi or like Tosos, the same thing should apply. If you're mood for Shabbos, you'd be a mood for Yontif. But according to the other understanding, that it means just specifically one day a week, for whatever the reason, it gets crazy, one day a week, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Tuesday, whether it's Thursday, is irrelevant. If it goes on one day, the same day, then it's a mood for that day. So then Yontif would not be included in the din of Shabbos. If it's a mood for Shabbos, it wouldn't necessarily be a mood for Yontif. Interesting, nafkamina. In any event, so here's the kasha on Rav Papa. The Talmidim said to Rabbi Yehuda, "Hareze muad l'shabbos." So eino muad l'imos achol. If you have the vav there, so it makes very good sense. Because when Rabbi Yehuda responds to them, "Amar lehen l'shabbos shalim nezek shalim l'imos achol m'shalim chasi nezek," so he's giving them the answer to their question. They're asking basically, if this animal is a muad for Shabbos, and we know for a fact that it's not a muad for weekdays, what's the halacha? And he tells them the halacha is, so then for Shabbos it is considered a muad, and you pay nezek sholei mi'aliyah, and on the Yom HaSachol, if it goes on a weekday, so then it's considered a short time still, and you only pay chatzi nezek mi'gufo. However, that's great if you say it, there ain't a muad, so we know for a fact that it's not a muad. So the stam position would be that it would be a muad. So therefore, you have to tell us this then. But Iyamis Bishlomo, the Eino Muad Kani, and in that situation, we understand why Rav Zvid, with his gears of the Vav, makes sense. Shayu Lehudu Kom Mishailele, the Talmidim were asking the Rebbe Rav Yehuda a question, V'hu Nami Kom Adalu, and he answers them. Yeah, it's a Muad for this, and it's a Tam for that in this situation. Even though the Stam position is that it is a Muad across the board, if it's a Muad for Shabbos, so then the Stam position is that it's a Muad also for weekdays, so here you have to tell me, no, if you know for a fact that it's not a muad on weekdays, so then it's not a muad on weekdays, then it's still a time for weekdays. Oh, so according to Rav Zvid, with the Vav, we understand the end of the Mishnah. So Talmidim asking the Rebbe a question. But if you hold like Rav Papa that there's no Vav there, so then the stam position is lo habi muad, Eliyamris, ain't a muad katani. and automatically it's not a mu'ad. So then, what exactly are the Talmidim asking the Rebbe? Agamure hu dekom megamri lei? Are they telling the Rebbe what the answer is? Because they're basically saying, in this situation, it's a tam. And therefore, a tam, you would only pay chatzi nezek. So you wouldn't have a Talmud tell the Rebbe what the halach is. And furthermore, then Rabbi Yehuda answers them as if it was a question, and he tells them the same thing that they said. You, Michael Mahadalu. So what's he telling them? They said it's a tam and a mu'at. So they said themselves that for the mu'at on Shabbos, you pay nezek sholem, and for the tam on the weekdays, you pay only chatzi nezek. So how does he answer them? Yeah, the mu'at is nezek sholem, and the tam is chatzi nezek. Doesn't make any sense, according to Rav Papa. So we don't give an answer to this shaila on Rav Papa. It's left as the boy, a little pshitalei. However, since the Gemara is eventually going to give additional cases where we seem to follow Rav Papa, so many of the posts say that we actually postulate Rav Papa, even though we slugged him up over here, and there are answers that could be given. The Gemara just doesn't give them. Okay, we continue. Another raya to Rav Svid and Akasha to Rav Papa. Rav Yane says, Meireish Nami Daika. From the beginning of the Mishnah, you also have a raya to Rav Zvid, because the Ketani, Esh Muad Lo Mishalim Nezek Shalim, Esh Enel Muad Lo Mishalim Chatzin Nezek. At the end of the three cases, it said, the bottom line is, if it's a Muad, you pay Nezek Shalim, Mi Aliyah. And if it's a Tam, then you only pay Chatzin Nezek, Min Haguf. Now, Iyavas Mishalma Ve Enel Muad Ketan, if you hold like Rav Zvid, that there's a Vav over there, and the default position is that the stam is a mu'ad, so then we understand. Pirusha kom farishle. We understand why it tells us in this situation, if it's a tam, we know for a fact that it's a tam, then you only pay chatzi nezek. But the default position would be that you pay nezek sholei. Eli amris ain't a muktani, but if you have like Rav Papa, that there's no vav over there, and the default position is that the stoma is ain't a mu'ad, so then patska, we've already learned that. If you're telling me it's stam position is that it's a tam, so I know the dinim of tam and mu'ad, my su es shemuad lo mishalim nezek shalim v'sheinu muad lo mishalim chazin nezek. Are you telling me the din of muad and tam on daf lamid zayin in the mesechta? We've had it many times already. Al hashlo ashmiina da hatam mishalim chazin nezek umuad mishalim nezek shalim. Until now we didn't know this din. Why would the Mishnah go and tell us this din? Just tell me it's a tam and tell me it's a muad. I know the din already of tam chazin nezek min hagof and muad is nezek shalim min hatliya. So, therefore, there's another kasha on Rav Papa. Again, neither of these are tiyuftas, and both of these two cases, there are terutzim that could be given for Rav Papa. Now, we have a riot to Rav Papa. Pim tim se lomar, nami isol de Rav Papa. If you're telling me over here that Rav Papa is correct in the way that he learns the Gemara, the Mishnah, that has no vav, and the stam position is, lo have muad. What about the following scenario? Nogach shor chamor v'gomol. So then, in this situation, if the animal gore three separate animals, so then we do consider the muad for all. Now, the fact that it said intin silomar, that the stam position is, like Rav Papa, that ain't a muad, so here, you need to understand why it tells me this case of nogach shor chamor v'gomol, because nasa muad l'kol. So even Rav Papa would agree with this. So this seems to be somewhat of a raya to Rav Papa. It's a memra, so it's not really a raya, because you could argue with the memra. It's from an amora. It's not from a tanoic source. But nevertheless, many of the Mefarshim say, since we are bringing this memra that supports the shita of Rav Papa, or fits in well with the shita of Rav Papa, so that's actually the way we pass it, even though we had two ibayas, the little ifshitalei, against Rav Papa. Okay. Tanu Rabbana, we learn the following braisa, ra shor nagach. If you see an animal go and gore another ox, so ox number one gores ox number two, and then shor lo nagach, and then it sees another ox and it doesn't gore it. Then it sees ox number three, shor nagach, and it gores ox number three, and then it sees ox number four, shor lo nagach, and it doesn't gore the fourth one. So we have what we call sirugin over here. It's alternating. It gores one, doesn't gore two. It gores three, doesn't gore four. And you know what happens next? Shor nogach, it sees number five and it gores it. Shor lo nogach, then it sees number six and it doesn't gore. So it's alternating. It sees an ox, it gores, it doesn't, it sees an ox, it doesn't gore. One, gores, two, no. Three, yes, four, no. Five, yes, six, no. So in this situation, the Braisa says, Nasimuad, l'seirugin, l'shvar. So it becomes a sharmuad for alternate oxen that it sees. That's the pattern that it's shown. This makes it a shor muad for alternating oxen and just for oxen. So that's this braisa. We have another braisa. Tana Rabban. Ra shor nagach. If you see a shor that went and gores another shor, chamor, and then it sees a chamor, lo nagach, and it doesn't gore the chamor. You see a sus, and then it gores, nagach. And then gamol, lo nagach. Peret, it sees a mule, and it gores. a road, which is a wild type of a donkey, a road, lo nagach. So here we see again, it gored animal number one, but not animal number two. Gored animal number three, but not animal number four. Gored animal number five, and not animal number six. So two here, you have this sirugin, this alternating goring. So nasamud le sirugin lakol, since it wasn't one specific animal. In this situation, like we had the case of the itmar before, of the nagach shor chamor v'gamol, so too, nasamud lakol. So here, on the sirugin, on the alternating, it is nasamud lakol. Okay, now we're going to introduce a new question over here that is basically going to be the order of operations. If you remember from your math days, so it depends which number goes first in terms of doing something to it. So if you're multiplying a number, you have 2 plus 2 times 6. So first you do the 2 plus 2, and then you do the times 6. So you have to know exactly what the order is. In any event, they ask the following Shaila Beis Medrash. Nogach, we turn to Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, you have this ox that was Nogach Shor, number one, it first gored an ox, number two, Shor, another ox, and number three, another ox. But then, Chamor, number four is a Chamor, and number five is a camel. So now, do we say that it's a Muad only for Shvarim because it gored one, two, and three? Or do we say, no, it gored 3, 4, and 5, and therefore it's a mu'ud for everything. So, mahu, what's the aloha? Do we say, hai, shor, basra, the last shor, number 3, basa, shvarim, shadin, alei, we put it after the first two oxen, and therefore there's 3 oxen in a row, and therefore it's considered a mu'ud for oxen. The akati, lishvarim, hu, ayid, and it's therefore a mu'ud only regards to shvarim. However, since number 3, ox, is included in the first category of oxen, it can't be included in the second category of all animals with the shor, chamor, and the gamal. So, lemidi achrina lo yai. Or do we say, no, al dilma, chai shor basra, this last shor, basra, chamor, and gamal shadin le, we lump it in with number 4 and 5. And therefore, vayayin le, lekulamina. And therefore, it can be a mu'ud for all animals, not just for shvarim. So that's the question. And now we have similar questions. We have multiple questions like this that we're going to ask, and we're going to end up with a teiku. So, where it's really the order of operations, as I said, do we lump number 3 in with the first two, or do we lump number 3 in with number 4 and 5? So, chamor, v'gomol, it gores first a chamor, then a gomol, and then a shor. Now we have 3 in a row, it's 3 animals, and therefore it's mu'ud l'kol. Or do we say now, it gores number 4 and number 5, or shor and shor. So, do we say no, it's really a mu'ud just for shor, just for shvarim, and not a mu'ud for all animals. Mahu. Again, same question. Hai shor kamar, the first shor that we have, which is number 3 in the progression, so basa chamor v'gomol shadin, we throw it in after number 1 and 2, and therefore it's mu'ud for all animals. Vayayid lei l'kulamine, for all animals. Or do we say no, dilma? No, basa shvarim shadin, we throw it in with the other shvarim that it gored, number 4 and number 5. And therefore 3, 4, and 5 means it's just the mu'ud for shvarim. Dakati l'shvarim hu da'ayid l'mina achrina lo yayid. And it's not considered a mu'ud for all other animals. That's the second question that we have. We don't answer that either. Again, it's all going to end up with a teiku. Similarly, if the animal gores Shabbos, 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 3 Shabbos in a row, and then on Echab Shabbos, and then on a Sunday, and then on a Monday. So again, how do we view that Shabbos? Mahu. Do we say, Ha Shabbos Basraisa, the third Shabbos over here. You throw it in with the first two Shabbosim, and now it's mu'ud for all Shabboses. So Basra Shabbos Hudu Shadina Lei, Vakati Le Shabbos Hudu Ayayin, Limosachol Lo Yayin. Like we said, if you're mu'ud for Shabbos, you're not necessarily a mu'ud for a chol. And therefore, this is 3 Shabbos in a row, and therefore it's a mu'ud for Shabbos. The fact that it then gored on a Sunday and a Monday is irrelevant, it's unconnected. Or do we say, no, Al Dilma? No. Basar Echad Bishabbos, Visheni Bishabbos Adinale. We throw it after number 4 and number 5, which was a Sunday and a Monday. So it gored Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday, and it's therefore goring on 3 days in a row, and it's a mu'ud for everything. But Ayid Leila Kuliyama, and it's a mu'ud for every day of the week. Left unanswered. Next. Chamishi b'Shabbos, v'erev Shabbos, v'Shabbos, and then Shabbos, Shabbos. So again, here we have Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. Do we view that as the pattern? Or do we view Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos as the pattern? So again, ha Shabbos kamaisa, the first Shabbos that we have, which is number 3 in the progression. So do we say it goes after Thursday and Friday? But chamishi b'Shabbos, v'erev Shabbos, shadin alei, v'ayayid l'kuli yomer. And therefore, it's a mu'ud for all the days. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos means it's a mu'ud for all the days. Or do we say, no, Od Yom, no. The Shabbos, the first Shabbos that we have, which was number 3, that is following with 4 and 5. And therefore, HaShabbos Kamaisa, number 3, Basa B'Shabbosos, Hu D'Shadile. We will lump it in with 4 and 5. And therefore, only in regards to Shabbos, Shabbosos, Hu D'Yayid, but not in regards to the weekdays. So we left this question unanswered. All of these are teiku. They're all left unanswered. Now the Gemara says, Nagach Shor Yom Chamisha Asar B'Chodesh Zeh. The ox gores on the 15th day of the month of Kislev. Okay, and then next month in Teves, Yom Shishi Asar B'Chodesh Zeh, and then on the 16th day of the next month, and then on the next month, so it gored on the 15th of Kislev, the 16th of Teves, and then the 17th of Adar, and this year Adar Aleph. So it goes in a progression, a very nice progression. The 15th of this month, and one day more, the 16th of the next month, and one day more, the 17th of the next month. So how do we view this in this situation? So this is a machlokas between Rav Shmuel, Plukes of the Rav Shmuel. And this is based upon the same machlokas that they had in regards to Hilchas Nida. So in there, Ruasa Yom Chamisha Sobachorizeh, if a woman had her period, she had menstruation on the 15th day of the month. Let's say, again, the 15th day of the month of Kislev. And then the next time, she had a Yom Shisha Sobachorizeh, and then on the 16th day of the month of Teves, and then the 17th day of Adar, the Yom Shiva Sobachorizeh. So is this a pattern for showing a vest, for showing that she has a definitive period, and therefore there are various halachas that apply for this woman in terms of being with her husband, not being with her husband, the taras, because she has a definite vest, and we can say at that time the guest comes when it's supposed to come, or reach bo bizmano, and therefore we can assume that she had her period even if she didn't have argosha, we have to be concerned about that, but at other times we don't have to be concerned. Yes or no? That's the machlokes between Rav Shmuel. So Rav Amar, kovel vest, she has a definitive vest, and therefore the details follow this vest in terms of tumah and tara, in terms of being muteris to her husband. Ushmuel Amar, Acha Tishalish Bedilut. No, she would need to have another time to do this, because the first time doesn't count, because the first time wasn't a part of the pattern. So the first time just establishes, okay, that's just had a period. Then the second time would be the 16th, that would be number one. The next time would be the 17th, that would be number two. And then she'd need to see on the 18th of the next month, in other bays in our year. So if she saw then we'd have a pattern of three. So this machlokas that we have between Rav Shmuel in regards to Hilchas Nida, in establishing a vest, in establishing a definitive period for the woman, so this same would apply in regards to the goring of the ox. So when it gores the first time on the 15th, so Rav would say, that's number one. When it gores the next month on the 16th, that's number two. Gores on the next month on the 17th, that's number three. Rav would say, this is a Shor Muad. Where Shmuel would say, the first one doesn't count. So on 16th day of the second month, that's number one. 17th day of the third month, that's number two. And then it would have to gore on the 18th day of the next month in order to have a Shor Muad, number three. Okay. Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Shama kol shofar v'nogach. The ox has a shofar blowing in the background, and it goes and gores. The shofar blast seems to incite the ox to gore. And then it happens again. Kol shofar, here's the shofar, and nagach, and it goes and gores. And then again, kol shofar the nagach. So this happened three times, Rava says, nasamur the shofars. So this ox is considered to be a mu'ad. If you blow a shofar, you know it's going to gore, and therefore you have to have the dinim of a shor mu'ad if it attacks after a shofar blowing. Rava says, yeah, pshita, why is Rava telling us this? After all, it seems pretty obvious. So Rava says, no, it's not so obvious. Maldutema, you might have said that this is exactly the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Hach shofar kama siyuta b'yamahu d'nachte. Basically, that first time that it blew, that just scared it. And that doesn't mean that it's any pattern. And only if the second, third, and then the fourth time would it be necessary. So kamash v'lan, the Rav says, no, the first time does count in making this a pattern of blowing a shofar, turning this ox into a shor mu'ad. Just after three times, you wouldn't need a fourth time. Okay. Next nishma, Shor Shal Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shal Hektis. We had this earlier in the Masechta. Here we have the din of Re'ehu. The pasuk says V'chi Yigach Shor Es Shor Re'ehu. So the din of Negicha of Shor Tam and Shamua is understood by the Tanakhama of our Mishnah to be only a din when a Jew's ox gores another Jew's ox. It doesn't apply to Goyim, and it doesn't apply even to Hektish. That's the opinion of the Tana of our Mishnah. I call it the Tana Kama. It's the only Tana of our Mishnah, but we'll see that there is an opinion, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, that disagrees with the Tana of our Mishnah. So our Mishnah Tana tells us, Shor Shal Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shal Hektish. If you have a Shor of a Yid that went and gored the Shor that belongs to Hektish, somebody donated the Shor to Hektish, so what's the din? Or, Vishal Hektish, you have a Shor that was donated to Hektish, that went and gored the Shor of a Yid. Shenogach the Shor Shal Hedjo, the regular plain person. Hedjo is a regular plain person. So, Potter, in both situations, the owner doesn't have to pay. Hektish doesn't have to pay, and the Shor of the Yisrael that was Nagach, the Shor of Hektish, wouldn't have to go and pay Hektish, based upon the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'chi Yigach Shor Ish, as Shor Re'ehu v'meis. So Shor Re'ehu implies below Shor Shel Hektish, not the Shor of Hektish. So therefore, the din, according to the Tanav HaMishnah, of Negicha by Shor to make into a Shor Tam, Shor Mu'ad, doesn't apply when you're not dealing with Shor Re'ehu, one year to another year. And likewise, Shor Shel Yisrael Shenogach, Shor Shel Kenani, if a Yid Shor went and gored a a Kanani's shor, so then also potter, because the din is shor re'ehil. V'shal Kanani, shenogach l'shor shesol, but a Kanani, they gored the axe of a yid, so then, bein tam, bein muad, mishalim nezik sholim. There, you have to go pay nezik sholim. There is no din of tam and muad, you pay nezik sholim, and the Gemara will discuss this in greater detail. Now, Mara starts off and tells us that the authorship of our Mishnah cannot be Rav Shimon Manasseh. Masisa, the local Rav Shimon Manasseh, because the Tanya, we know in the Braisa that he disagrees with the author of our Mishnah. So the author of our Mishnah is quoted in the Braisa as the Tanakam of the Braisa. Shar shall head yod, shenogach, shar shall hektish, vishal hektish, shar shall head yod, potter. As the Tan of our Mishnah said, the Tanakam of the Braisa says the same thing, because the Pasuk tells us, shnei mashar yehu, velo shar shall hektish. The dinim of Negicha apply only from one yid to another yid, and not from a yid to hektish, or from hektish to a yid, because it has to be shar yehu, hektish is not your friend. Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, however, disagrees. In the Braisa, he specifically states, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, Omer, shar shall hektish, and akach, shar shall hed your potter. Yes, I agree with you. Hektish always gets off with the best possible position. So hektish is not going to be held responsible for its oxen goring. So if hektish's ox gores a regular yid's ox, there's no penalty that you have to pay, that hektish has to pay damages. However, the other way around, shall hedge or shenogach shor shall hektish, but if a regular yid's shor did damage the shor shall hektish, Rav Shimon Manasseh says that you pay, and this makes no difference. There's no din of tam and muad, bein tam and bein muad, mishalim nezik shalem. Even though your ox is not good previously, it's a tam quote for another yid. In regards to hektish, you pay nezik shalem. So that's the opinion of Shimon Manasseh. Gemara says, Amre. The Gemara says, wait a second, it says shor re'ehu. My kor sova Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon hold? If he holds a din of shor re'ehu, then it should work both for a shor of hektish, being the nageach, a shor of a hedyot of Yisrael, and vice versa. It should work for both. But Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says it only works one way. What's going on? So my kor sova Rabbi Shimon. If he holds re'ehu zdafka, then it has to be a shor of a yid to another shor of a yid. So then, afilu shal hedyot, shenoga shal hektish liptar. So then, even if a yid's ox gored a hektish's ox, it's not re'ehu, it should be potter. You tell me he doesn't hope for the drush of re'ehu. Re'ehu lav dafka, he says it doesn't mean, it's just using an example. Who's going to gore? A regular yid's ox is going to gore another regular yid's ox. It's just using that for a common example. But the din is whether you gore hektish or not, you're also chayiv. So then the din should be both ways. Afilu de hektish nami, kinoach de hedjun chayiv. So then if shor re'ehu is not a real din, so then whether you gore hektish or hektish gores you should be chayiv. Why does it make any sense to say that Rav Shimon Manasseh makes a dichotomy over here? He says, when you go hektish, you're chayiv. But when hektish goes you, you're not chayiv. Either you hold re'ehu or you don't re'ehu. Why would it be half and half? That's the Gemara's question. You're going to tell me the chitemo. In fact, liolam kasava re'ehu dafka, that Rav Shimon Manasseh holds that it really does mean re'ehu. And therefore, when hektish gores you, it's not re'ehu. And therefore, you're potter. So hektish is potter. Umihu. The head yo kinogach the hektish hainu time the mechayev, but the other way around, it should also be potter. When you gore hektish, you should be potter based upon this. He said, no. Here's the reason why you'd say yechayev. Mishum the komaisli mikal v'chomer the hedjo, because we have a kal v'chomer over here from hedjo. What is that? Uma hedjo shenogach shel hedjo chayev. If a yid goes and gores his ox gores another yid's ox, yechayev in that situation. So certainly the hektish, you certainly should be hektish. It always has. Yad alo yona. Hektish always has the better of the deal. So, kinoachach de hektish lo koshek in b'chayiv. So, certainly you should be chayiv in that situation. So, that's what Rav Shimon Manasseh says to explain. The din, you're right, is it should be only re'ehu. But here, because of the kal v'chomer, so you have to go and pay when a yid goes and gores hektish's ox. So, what does the Tana of our Mishnah, the Tanakama of the Braisa, who argues with Shimon Manasseh, say? So, the Gemara answers, no. They would hold, Dayo lovim nadin, lios kenidon. Then it has to be the din of Tam and Muad, because you can only learn out this kal v'chomer, Dayo lovim nadin, only as strong as the kal v'chomer itself. So the kal v'chomer tells us that a short Tam that gores another yid's ox only pays chatzi nezek migufo. And therefore, Malahalan Tam is chatzi nezek. So here too, if you want to tell me it's a kal v'chomer, so then if a short Tam gores hektish, you only have to pay hochanami chatzi nezek. But that's not what it said. Rav Shimon Manasseh says that when your ox, whether it's a Tam or Muad, gores hektish, you pay nezek shalem. So this would be then more than the kal v'chomer. Dialovim adin lios kenido. So that can't be it. So what is Rav Shimon Manasseh's explanation for why if you gore hektish, you're going to be held liable, but if hektish gores you, they're not held liable? Doesn't make sense if it's re'ehu. El Omer Shlokis, Rish Lokis says, Ha kolu b'chal nezik sholem. In fact, everything was, the din should be nezik sholem. That should be the normal din. Now, Kishapar al Chakasav Re'eyu, but when the Pasuk tells us this din applies by Re'eyu, it specifically mentioned it by Shar Tam and not by Shar Muad. So Kishapar al Chakasav, the din of Re'eyu, Kigak Shar Ish, and Shar Re'eyu, that's by din of Shar Tam, Gabi Tam. Re'eyu de Tam, Mishalim Chatzin Nezek. So it's only by this din of Re'eyu that you pay Chatzin Nezek. That's for the din of Tam. Miklal the Hekdesh, and therefore Rishon Menashe learns out in regards to Hekdesh, you go to the default din. There's Ben Tam Ben Muad Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So therefore Rishon Menashe makes sense. He's saying that the din of Tam, it specifically mentioned it only in regards to a Re'eyu, and therefore in regards to Re'eyu, there's a din of Tam and Muad, but in regards to Hekdesh, there's no din of Re'eyu. Because the Im Kain, because if you really, in fact, return to Lama Chesam and Aleph, because if, in fact, you wanted to tell me that the din should be also by Hekdesh, there's a din of Tam and din of Muad, then you should have told it to be by Muad. Nichtov Kro Lahai Re'eyu Gabi Muad. From the fact that it specifically mentioned it in regards to Tam, so that teaches us that the din is only by Re'eyu that you have Tam and Muad. And by Hekdesh, Rishon Menashe says, we say you go to the default position, and that is that there is no Tam, there is no Muad, you just pay Nezek Shalim. Okay, this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. Mitzvah Hashem, Klai Yisrael should be safe. Everybody should have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.